Hi, this is Bishop E. James Logan, Senior Pastor of Christian Faith Fellowship Church in Zion, Illinois. Welcome to our podcast. I pray you'll be blessed by a fresh word from God every time you tune in.
Hallelujah. 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 Father, we just thank you for being Jireh, Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Father, you are enough. You are enough. You are all that we have ever needed. You have been all that we could ever imagine, that we could ever ask for. God, you are it. Whatever we desire, whatever we need, God, you are that thing. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are it. So, Father, we just come boldly to the throne of grace, thanking you for the mercy and the grace that you have bestowed upon your children. Father, we love you. We honor you in this place. Use us to bring glory to your name, to bring glory to the earth, to bring your glory to the earth. Now, Father, I pray that as I minister this word, God, you would use me for your glory. Let me minister with clarity, understanding, and anointing that so that someone can be saved. Someone's life can be changed. Failure cycles can be broken. Generational curses can be destroyed. And someone can come into the knowledge of who they really are and who you've called them to be. In the mighty matchless name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And everybody said amen, amen, amen. It's so good to be with you all this evening, Wednesday night, Bible study, Bible teaching. We are going to get into the word, and I feel a teach upon me on tonight. If you're excited, just go ahead and share this video on our social media platforms. If you're watching us on Facebook Live, so good to see so many of you. If you're checking us out on our YouTube page, please subscribe, leave us a comment so we can see how God is ministering to you through the word. Amen. Let's go ahead and get right into it. So tonight, I want to talk to you about a subject that has been on my heart for a while, which is culture. Culture, 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 culture. Culture has been on my heart for a while. But how do we as believers blend or live in society where the societal norms and culture of society is so prevalent in many churches? And how do we, as a body of believers, exemplify the culture of the kingdom? The culture of the kingdom. First of all, let's lay down some very basic, fundamental things. So, number one, what is the Bible about? What is the Bible about? Well, the Bible is about a king. The Bible is about a king. Number one, I want you to take notes tonight. The Bible is about a king. Secondly, the Bible is about a royal family. This is not coming to America. This is about a royal family. You don't believe me, do you? The Bible says, or the Bible reads in 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 through 10. Many of us know this scripture. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Okay, so the Bible is about a king. The Bible is about a royal family, and the Bible is about a kingdom. The Bible is about a kingdom. Okay, many of us that live here in the United States, we are unfamiliar with kingdoms because we live in a democracy. And in a democracy, we have what is called political figures and leaders and a president. We do not have a king in the United States. We have a president. Okay? If we had a king, many of the things that we do would be totally different. So kingdoms and democracies are different. All right? Kingdoms and democracies are different. So the Bible is about a kingdom. All right. And a kingdom is a king's country, a king's domain. Okay. Now, if you don't understand what a kingdom is, then you won't understand the Bible. So it's important for us to get wisdom and understanding about kingdoms so that we can understand the Bible, the word in which we live and operate in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven. Okay? Then the Bible is about a government. We are familiar with governments because we have one. Many of you vote. Many of you are very prideful about which political party in the government you are a part of. So we know that part. Then the Bible is about a colonization project. A colonization project. Okay? And a colonization is simply the extension or expansion of a kingdom or a king's influence to a distant territory. Colonization is the extension or expansion of a kingdom or a king's influence to a distant territory. Right? Many of you that are from the islands, you have been trained to speak certain languages because a certain kingdom came to that land and colonized it or took dominion of it. And then after they took dominion, they enforced their glory or their culture. They enforced their culture. Everywhere a kingdom is established, the next thing that they do is they establish their culture. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. I don't plan to be before you long, but I want you to understand what it means to be in a kingdom. Okay? Now, God's will, write this down if you're still taking notes. God's will is to extend the kingdom of heaven to earth. His will is to extend the kingdom of heaven to earth. God wants us. I'm going too far. Let me say this one more time. God's will is to extend the kingdom of heaven to earth. Now, side note. This is a, you know, scribble on the side of your notes. The Bible is just not some religious book that has a bunch of do's and don'ts, because that's how many people who are not under the culture of the kingdom view the Bible. The Bible is our constitution. The Bible is the law. The Bible is what is establishing boundaries, doctrine, theology, ideology about how we are to live our lives in this kingdom. All right? Are you following me? The Bible is this. The Bible is a testament. Many of you thought the Bible was just a book full of amazing stories of David and Goliath and Jonah and the whale and the blind boys of Alabama. many of you have looked at the Bible as a fairy tale book that you open up and you get inspiration and you get goosebumps from now and then. No. The Bible is a testament. Write this down. A testament is something that serves as a sign or evidence of a specified fact or event. And the Bible is comprised of two testaments, the Old Testament and the New Testament. So the Bible is not just some book. The Bible is a real deal. It's the real deal. You don't believe me, do you? Another definition of a testament is a will. A testament or a will. And that is an act by which a person determines the disposition of their property after death. And
And a testament and a will is a legal document. It's a legal document. If I had my leather-bound Bible, my journaling Bible, many of you have seen me preach from it. If I had that, it's a legal document. Just imagine, this is my Bible. This is my Bible. It is a legal document. This is not something that's a bunch of people just made up. It's true. And if we are calling ourselves believers, royal priesthood, the children of God, we have to understand what is in the Bible and the purpose of the Bible and the importance of the Bible and why it's not just enough for you to know a bunch of scripture, but you don't apply it to your life. I'm going to go there for a minute. Many of us, I was having a conversation the other day with my wife. Many Christians, we know scripture, but we don't have understanding of said scripture. We know a bunch of stuff that sounds good, but we don't know how to apply it to our lives, or we fail to apply it to our lives. And the key indication of a mature or mature believer is one who knows how to apply the knowledge that they have. I'm going to say that again. The key indication of a mature believer is one that knows how to apply the knowledge that they've learned. Wisdom is applied knowledge. Wisdom is simply applied knowledge. Many of you know stuff, but you don't have wisdom. Many of you know scripture, but you don't have understanding. If many of us did, we won't find ourselves in many of the traps that we get ourselves into, because scripture helps us to live according to the ways of the kingdom. So now that I've went off, side note, God's will covenant is to extend the kingdom of heaven to earth. All right? That's why the Bible says this. When you pray, pray like this. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. Pray like this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We have to bring heaven to earth. You still don't believe me? Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. Obviously, we know in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was sort of. Yes, we know this. Okay. Now fast forward to verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image." Let us make man in our image, not one man, but many of would consider our species mankind. That's what we're called, mankind. Let us make man in our image. So number one, God is speaking, and when he speaks, we ought to listen. Let us make man in our image. So we are made in the image and likeness of God. Okay? If you can find in scripture anywhere else where it says any other creature was created in the image and likeness of God, shoot me a text, holla at your boy. But we are created in the image and likeness of God. So that means we carry his character, his reputation, and his likeness. And we know that God is full of glory. So it is our assignment We are here on assignment. When we were born, obviously we know what the Bible says in Joshua, but we are born for an assignment, a specific assignment. So you're not just born by happenstance. You're not just here on accident. You're not just here because your mama hooked up with some dude. No, you're not just here because your daddy hooked up with some chick. No, no, no. You are here on an assignment to bring the glory of heaven to earth. Then it goes on to say, and let them have dominion, and let them have dominion. Many times as we're reading this, we skip right past very, very important words. Dominion. Over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So we were created in the image and likeness of God. Then God says, let them have dominion. Dominion. All right. Then we have dominion over what? It's listed right here. We were created with God's image and likeness to dominate the earth. Oh, man. We were created in the image and likeness of God to dominate the earth. That's why we ought to have land as a body of believers. We should have our finances in order. We should have things in order. We should have systems and things set in place so that the next generation can come in and take over, and they will have the mental aptitude and the mental capacity and the business acumen to do these things. Because why? Because anywhere a kingdom is established, their culture is also established. So we have to be mindful of why we were created. So then God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Let's be clear. I love saying that. Male and female, he created them. This is what the Bible says. And if you are a blood-bought, born-again, Holy Ghost-filled, sanctified, tongue-talking, Bible toting man and woman of God, you should believe this too. I believe Bishop said it in our leadership meeting the other day. If you don't believe what the word says about this right here, you ain't really got it all together. Okay? And God blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. We were created and sent here on an assignment to bring the atmosphere and the glory of heaven to earth. So we as a body of believers should be influencing the culture of society and imparting the glory of God everywhere we go. On our jobs, there should be a little glory. You're right. In your home, when I step into your home, I should feel at home because we are believers, and there should be some likeness in how we move and how we operate and how we think and the things that we speak and our language and our norms and our culture. This is what it means to be in the kingdom. Let me give you a few more definitions. I got about 15 minutes and we'll go home. You're already at home, though. Culture is defined as this. Culture is the customs, art, social institutions, and achievements of a particular nation, people, or social group. It's the customs, it's the art, it's the music, it's the rhythm, it's the food, it's the way that we speak, it's the way that we talk, it's the inflection in our voice, it's how you carry yourself, it's how you dress, it's in your customs, your institutions, your achievements, what you deem as an achievement, how you deem, how you view success. That is what culture is. And society, the world, as we've said in the church, quote unquote, the world, their culture is different than the culture of the kingdom. But what many of us have allowed to happen is the culture of the world to creep into the culture of the church. This is where we get mixed up with the holy and the profane. We allow the things that the world does to creep into the church so that we can attract people, when we should be operating as a kingdom citizen and bringing the kingdom to the people so that the people will then be attracted to where we go to church. We as a body of believers in the kingdom of God should be counter-culture of the world. Counterculture. Counterculture is a way of life and set of attitudes that are opposed or at variance with the prevailing social norm. There are things that the world does that, well, we just don't do. We just don't operate like that. That is not how we in the kingdom of God operate. Because if I profess to be a blood-bought, born-again believer, and you believe that homosexuality is not wrong, well, my Bible says otherwise. So that is counterculture. And when we say things like that, that oppose the societal norms, we are subject to be what? Canceled. And just like Bishop said, God didn't call me to be accepted by every person in the world. God called me to proclaim and preach the gospel of the kingdom. And if that goes against what society says, guess what? I got to do it anyway. Because as soon as I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I said that Jesus is my Lord, which also means Adonai, which also means owner, I am owned by Jesus. So I can't even do what I want to do. We sing songs like, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary, Lord, for you. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. But we don't really mean that stuff. As soon as your flesh rise up and you want to do the nasty with somebody and you're not married, or you married and you're trying to do the nasty with somebody that's not your spouse, and the Holy Spirit that governs you, You got that prompt. You know what the Holy Spirit said, but you do it anyway. That goes to show the influence that the world's culture has on you. Is this too real? This is too real. This might be too real for some of y'all. Once again, whenever a domain or territory has been colonized, what happens? What happens is the people who took dominion of said territory then begin to establish their culture or their what? Their glory. Glory in the Hebrew means kavod, which has meanings of imprint, weight, majesty, heaviness. Some of you have even heard these Christianese sayings, the weight of his glory. Well, glory means weight. Glory means weight in the Hebrew. So whenever someone is establishing their kingdom, they leave an imprint on that territory, on that domain, on that land, on that country, on that island. Spain went to various islands in the Caribbean and they left an imprint, or they left their glory. And then years and years and years, years, years later, decades later, you have a people group who speak the language of the kingdom that left it 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago. Why? Because their glory is still there. And the glory goes wherever the people go. So then when you have Puerto Rican people leave their island of Puerto Rico and come to the United States, guess what? They come here speaking Spanish and they bring their beans and rice, which means they brought the glory from their native land into another land because the glory has followed them. Also the culture. That's why we have some loving members here, and I can say this because I love them and they love me, but they may have been born in Jamaica. And they've been here in the United States for over 40 years, but they still have a Jamaican accent. Why? They brought the glory of their place with them to the United States. And then if you go to certain cities, big cities, Chicago, New York, you can go to certain cities where they have established many kingdoms. In that city, you have Chinatown, you have Jamaica Town, you have Jewish Town, you have, you know, don't get mad at me, you got the hood, right? You have Puerto Rico Town, you have Little Mexico, all of these things, and I'm not. Forgive me if I seem or if I say something that may seem insensitive. Obviously, that is not my heart. That is not my intent. I'm just pointing out what is obvious in many cities. But then if you go to various developing cities where predominantly African-American people live, the hood that some of you may have grown up in, Evergreen Plaza. What is that now? They didn't transform it to what? Lincoln Park or Wicker Park? Gentrification. Why? Because another race has established their dominance or their glory in that territory. And this is what we, as the children of God, living under the rulership of our King, need to do everywhere we go, is to establish the kingdom of heaven here on earth. This is why it's so important for you to understand who you are and whose you are. Because as long as the enemy can keep telling you that you need to fight for 40 acres and a mule, and you need to get your reparations, you need to get a piece of the land from the people that stole it from your forefathers, and you continue to fight for Black Lives Matter, and you can continue to fight for racial and social justice more than you do understanding who you are in the kingdom of God, the enemy will continue to have you bound because you don't understand why you were put on this earth. As long as the enemy can keep tricking you into believing that you need Gucci purses and Gucci flip-flops and Chanel bags Christian Dior items and all of the things that these rappers and TV and society and the culture of hip-hop and R&B and entertainment has forced and placed on us all day, all the time, on your TV, on your cell phone, on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, as long as you continue to allow that to feed into your eyes and your ears and all of your gates, and you don't understand who you are in the kingdom of God, you will settle for stuff below what God has for you. As long as we continue to fight and kill and murder and kidnap and shoot one another, the enemy is winning. We as a people of God
have to wake up and understand what culture we're being influenced by. Is it the culture of the world? Or are you being influenced by the culture of the kingdom? Are the things that you do, the rules, the laws that you abide by, is your political party more important than your citizenship in the kingdom of God? You can tell. You can tell what type of culture you're in by how much a person, place, or thing has established their importance or their glory in your life. Bishop talks about this all the time. The brothers that we know more stats and facts about our favorite sports figures and who's the GOAT and who's in the GOAT conversation. And man, you know, Steph Curry, he's doing amazing things in the NBA season, but you know, he can't be the greatest point guard of all time. He got to be the second GOAT. And then, you know, if LeBron does it this year, man, he going to surpass Jordan. But even though I believe he did it when he beat the Warriors, even though Draymond Green and Steph Curry, you know, they was out and all this. And these are the things, these are the trivial things that we fight over, that we argue over. These are the facts that we know, but we don't know any scripture. We don't know any scripture about how to fight the kingdom of darkness so that we can continue to establish the kingdom of heaven here on earth. We don't have a prayer life. Even as I was reading in the Word the other day, there was a question that was posed in one of my devotions. It said, what if God answered all of the prayers that you've prayed in the last 7 days, how different would the world be? Would just your life change? Or would the world be a different place? Would your children's lives be different? Or is it only you? Because you just pray selfish prayers. You just pray, Lord, it's me, and I'm standing in the need of praise. Father, it's me. Every time you go to pray, it's me. And God is like, dude, can you pray for something else? I already know what you need before you even ask me. But what kind of prayers, what kind of dangerous prayers are you going to pray to shake up the culture that is trying to destroy the kingdom of heaven here on earth? The laws and things that they're setting up in place. What are you praying for? Are you praying against the principalities and powers that are trying to teach your children things that are contrary to what the Word of God says? Are you praying against the principalities and powers that are trying to keep certain segments or certain sectors and certain race of people bound because they believe they are inferior? Are you praying for your nation? Are you praying for other nations? Are you praying for third world countries and underdeveloped places that don't have the same access and the same kind of lifestyle that you have? Do you take the life that you have for granted? What kind of prayers are you praying? Are you praying, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Are you praying for God's glory to be manifested here on the earth? Are you praying for God to change you so that people can see your good works and begin to glorify your Father in heaven? Are you praying for a revival in the land? Are you praying? Are you praying for God to reveal himself to you so that you can stop walking in the shadow
of all your fallen heroes? Are you praying for God to create in you a clean heart and renew in you a right spirit so that you can worship God in spirit and in truth? Are you asking God to do a new thing in the earth, to transform the hearts of sinners so that they can come to know who Jesus really is? My last scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughters pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls upon the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For these nations which you will dispossess listened to soothsayers and diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. God has given us a great responsibility to establish the culture of the kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. It's our responsibility. That's our responsibility. That's our assignment. But when we allow the culture of the world to creep in and to seduce us into, oh yeah, we need to incorporate that into what we're doing. No. The word is all we need. We just sang it before. Jireh, you are enough. God don't need no help from no other cultures. He is enough. We can't allow our kingdom, our people, our culture to be influenced by the culture of the world. When we do, we are considered an abomination. This is why it's important for us to understand the culture of the kingdom and what the Word of God says that we ought to do. It's okay to be counterculture. It's okay that people, I can't call them to hang out with me no more. That's okay. Certain calls, I just don't get. And I'm cool with that. It took me a while to grow and to mature to that space. But there, you know, I just, certain stuff, people not going to ask me to do because they know I'm not going to do it. And they're not going to bring it up to me because they know I'm going to say something to them and make them feel convicted. Now, you know. Oh, man, see, I don't even know why I told you. I don't either. Because you know the standard that I live by. Amen? So we have to ensure that we are establishing the culture of the kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, help me to digest this word. Help me to take these notes that I've taken and study the scriptures, not to just have a bunch of knowledge, not
to just have a bunch of stuff that I know that I can go out and say and sound big and sound fancy and sound more important than I really am. But Father, help me to truly understand the word, the law that you've given us to walk this thing out in your kingdom. Help me to live counter culture of the world. And help me to walk in the dominion that you have given me from the beginning of time. Father, in the name of Jesus, renew my mind. Renew the way I think. Cause me to think more kingdom-minded. Cause me to be more kingdom-minded in every aspect of my life. Don't allow me to fall into the race baiting. Don't allow me to fall into the political craziness. Don't allow me to fall into trying to get rich quick. Don't allow me to fall into any schemes and plans and devices of the enemy that will cause my family to crumble and fall. But Father, help me to see plainly and clearly what it is that you have called and commissioned for me and my family to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, if you're not saved or you want to be saved, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to send us a message on our social media platforms, Facebook, Christian Faith Fellowship Church Zion, Instagram, CFFC Zion, or shoot us an email. Give us a call. We want to pray with you, send you some information. Now, at this time, we want you to use one of the options at the bottom of the screen to support and sow into this ministry. Because of your support and sowing into good soil in this ministry, we can do and continue the work of the kingdom. Amen. We can continue the work of the kingdom, which is spreading the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ to every possible place we can share it to. Amen. God bless you. May God's grace and peace go with you everywhere you go. May goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. May the Lord shine his face upon you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Well, thank you for joining us. I also want to thank you in advance for clicking on the link to support our ministry. Your giving is what moves ministry forward, and ministry must move forward. You can also visit us online at cffczion.org for more information. If you were blessed by this word, please subscribe and share this podcast with your friends and family. God bless you.